Jenkins, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educator, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. This is the audio companion to the UNL Beef Watch electronic newsletter. Before we get started with today's topic, I want to ask a favor of you. We've been doing these podcasts for 3 years now, and we need to evaluate their effectiveness. We'd greatly appreciate it if you would please complete a quick survey at go.unl.edu/beefwatchsurvey. I will remind you again at the end of today's discussion. Today I have Aaron Berger with me again. Aaron is also a Nebraska Extension educator on the beef team. Thanks for joining me, Aaron.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jay.
Aaron wrote an article for the November issue of the Beef Watch newsletter that he called Cow-Calf Cost Breakdown, Labor and Equipment. Now, this is the third article in a series. In September, Aaron covered cow-calf cost, feed cost, and then in October, we covered cow depreciation, and now Aaron's going to talk about labor and equipment. So I guess any economic analysis of Nebraska beef cattle operations is going to show labor and equipment when put together is going to be one of the highest cost categories, usually either second or third, depending on how cow depreciation falls into the picture. But this is one of those categories that is subject to management influence and size and scale. So you want to talk just a little bit about labor expense, equipment expense, and then also why we typically lump those two together when we talk about them?
Sure. So as we look at cow-calf costs, as you already said, that frequently that there's tend to be a kind of flip-flop between cow depreciation and labor and equipment. Either they're number second or number third in terms of total cost when you look at annual cow costs. I put labor and equipment together just because labor and equipment often go together. And we either, if I have a hired person working for me, I usually have equipment for that person, a pickup, a four-wheeler, livestock trailer. If I want to try to reduce labor expense, I often try to do that with my use of equipment. And I'll just give an example. When I was a kid in the early 80s, a lot of hay put up in Nebraska with bar mowers and dump rakes and slide stackers. You don't see that done very much anymore. And a lot of the reason why is because of the cost of labor. We saw the opportunity to go with a swather and a baler, and so that was the direction things went. And so we frequently see now one or two people putting up hay where it was often a hay crew of 8 to 10. So we replaced labor with equipment. Labor and equipment, as we think about cows, can be a real challenge. And it's really something that can be a challenge in that either it requires a certain amount of equipment, usually, or most people have the mindset that it does, to take care of cows. Most of the time you're going to be talking about a pickup, a tractor, a four-wheeler, a livestock trailer. Those are things that people have, whether you have 100 cows or 500 cows. So I like to use the example, if I had 200 cows and my neighbor came to me and said, Aaron, I'd like to lease you my ranch and sell you my 200 cows. And so I took him up on that offer. I buy his 200 cows and his ranch adjoins mine. I basically take his cow herd, mix it together with mine, and now instead of having 200 cows, I'm going to double my herd to 400 cows. The day I bring his cows and combine them with my cows, I'm probably not going to buy another tractor, buy another four-wheeler, buy another pickup. But my overhead cost or my cost for labor and equipment are essentially cut in half when I move from having 200 cows to 400 cows. And so overheads are something that don't change very much per cow unit. In fact, they don't really change much at all until we reach some threshold level where we usually add a unit of labor. Now, let's say that I was fully employed with 200 cows, so I'm going to need to hire somebody to help me take care of these other 200 cows I just bought. If I go hire somebody, I'm probably going to provide a pickup for them to drive, a four-wheeler for them to ride. And so you can see what happened is I just added additional overheads to my cow-calf enterprise. And so we're a little bit oversimplistic, but it's really the scenario as we think about overhead cost and cost per cow unit. So how do we address this? How do we get after this? So the first thing I think is know what your costs are from an overhead standpoint. And when I'm saying overhead, sometimes folks refer to this as fixed costs. I don't really like the word fixed because it kind of implies it can't be changed. And I don't believe that's true. I think as we look at overheads, there's often ways to be creative about addressing that. So I think first is know what your costs are. And we talk about in our unit cost production workshops, the dirty five factor, and that's related to depreciation, interest, repairs, taxes, and insurance as it was related to equipment. Know what those costs are and thinking about what those costs are back to a cow unit. As you think about labor, I think it's important to think about, are there ways to reduce labor per cow unit? And that maybe say, well, how do I do that? And I think it's thinking about, you know, is there some off-farm income that could be provided for me? Do the cows I have really justify a full-time person? And there's a lot of part-time cow-calf operations across the country. And so thinking strategically about my labor input is important. I also think we need to evaluate, do we have to own the equipment? And I realize there's some basic equipment that maybe we need, but there are some times I think where we have equipment that we might use a couple times a year, maybe four or five times a year, and we have to ask the question, is it best for me to own that, or could I hire someone else to do that job, and would it be more cost effective? And again, I realize logistically sometimes that always isn't the option, but I think that's a legitimate question to ask, is can I be strategical about that. I guess my last thought with this is what I would call guerrilla ranching. If you think about guerrilla warfare, guerrillas are usually limited resources. They're trying to figure out ways to be most strategic with their input to try to figure out how to have the biggest impact in terms of what they're trying to get accomplished. And I think we have to have a similar mindset a little bit as we address this labor and equipment situation as it relates to cow-calf production. We got to be creative. We have to be strategic in thinking about where is labor and equipment have the greatest value and try to focus on those areas, try to reduce labor and equipment in areas that maybe have very little value. And if we could hire it cheaper, then we do it. And also, I think sometimes we might need to think about management or production system. Could we change our production system so that it would result in less labor and equipment? And those are big type challenges. They're not simple. They also often require a change in way things have been done. But I think as I look at operations that are effective in that, they often are doing some creative things in this area to address this labor and equipment cost.
Absolutely. One other thing that I think folks could think about is what we call economies of scale and whether the equipment and labor is fully utilized. You know, sometimes it takes certain equipment to operate a ranch. Sometimes it can be just as simple as growing your operation a little bit bigger so you can more fully utilize what you already have. As you mentioned, you have to be careful because if you grow too big that you have to add more labor and equipment, then you've taken another step up. But lots of times, you know, it's awfully difficult for one person to run 1,000 cows. But there are quite a few operations around the country where 8 people run 8,000 cows. Now, I'm not even remotely suggesting you need to get that big, but the same principles apply. Sometimes being a little bit bigger, if you have the opportunity to take on another lease or something and it fits into your overall plan and scale, sometimes that might be a little bit easier way of better utilizing your labor and equipment than trying to figure out how to completely do ranching in a different way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'd also say I think there's times you need to look at your land resource and ask the question, do I have the right enterprise in place? And, you know, I think I've seen some folks in Nebraska who've evaluated their land resource, what they have. They were in the cow-calf production business and said, you know, we can't scale up to really where we're at. We're just not in a scenario where we can scale up to really be competitive from a cow-calf standpoint. But you know what? We could do some custom grazing and really reduce our labor expense and also our equipment and have that be an enterprise that would work well for us. So I think you got to look at your goals, what you want to do, what you like, what you enjoy, but also look at what do I have available to me, and maybe I need to take a little different angle on this and change the enterprise I have to better fit the resources and labor that I have.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to highlight before we wrap this up, Aaron?
Again, I just think this is a challenge, and I don't want to be naive to it. When we look at the cost of a hired person today, whether you're hiring that person or paying yourself, you know, we can easily get to $50,000, $60,000 pretty quickly. And some people say, oh, there's no way it costs that much. But if you sit down and figure what cash labor is worth, just the hours, you figure providing housing, you provide some, if a health insurance is provided, some self-employment tax, liability insurance, utilities, beef. It's not very hard to have a $2,000 a month employee add up to $50,000, $60,000. And so I think it's just good to be real with what the numbers are, and then good to be real with how can we address this, and think creatively, think about what your goals are, and not just hope it's going to change, because I don't see labor as a whole cost going down. But I think if we can think about ways to reduce labor requirements or figure out systems that can reduce labor, that's probably an advantage. So that would be, I guess, in closing, some thoughts.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Aaron. Once again, this has been Jay Jenkins and Aaron Berger, Nebraska Extension educators, bringing you the Beef Watch podcast. You can find links to both the UNL Beef Watch podcast and the written version of the Beef Watch newsletter at beef.unl.edu. Once again, please remember to complete our survey at go.unl.edu/beefwatchsurvey. It will help us convince our administrators that we should continue the Beef Watch podcast, and will also help us better meet your needs.